Thanks for that talk, Martin.
It was a pleasure. I'm sorry it did overrun a bit.
It's fine. This is not about Art Sheffield.
Okay.
So relating to the institution, you go to university to become something, either an artist or a creator. However, the way you think and the way you do things is very conceptual. And I feel that you dissolve that barrier between being an artist and a creator. So my question is, do you feel you have an advantage when working with an artist or an artwork? Or is there a familiarity there?
I definitely think that studying fine art has influenced the way that I work as a curator. And I think that often curators either come from a fine art background, as I did, or they come from an art history background. And I think both bring different things, actually, to curatorial practice. And I don't think one's necessarily better or more useful or anything like that, but I think they're quite different. And I think for me, coming from an art background, it certainly feels very natural and easy for me to start with the artwork and start. Another friend of mine described it quite interestingly recently when she sort of said, you know, often people who have the art background, they come to an object and they look at an object and they try and understand what they can extract from that object in terms of knowledge or what that object's trying to tell them. People who come from an art historical background, and this is a massive generalization and it shouldn't be, but it's an interesting anecdote nonetheless, or truism or something, it seems to be more like applying knowledge to an object, which is also very important at certain moments as well. And so whether that's true, I think they're just two different, I don't think it's a split or it's like, you know, I don't think it's if you study fine art, you do it like that, and if you study art history, you do it the other way. But it's certainly interesting to think about whether you're starting with an encounter with the object and trying to extract information from it, or coming with a body of knowledge that you've learned and trying to put that onto the object in order to position it within an already accepted or known body of knowledge. So that kind of is what you were asking, I think. But the other thing, I guess, is that I don't feel like my work's blurred at all now. I mean, I work as a curator, and I don't think that anything I do is kind of art practice in any way. But I also think that's really, like, just because I call myself a curator doesn't mean I'm good at curating. Just like if I call myself an artist, it doesn't mean I'm a good artist. And so I think it's a really important distinction also that it doesn't matter where you position yourself. And I was trying to allude to this a little bit at the beginning, I think, that it becomes to me about what good curatorial practice is. And I've seen a bunch of shows that have been curated by artists, which are great, but also bad shows curated by artists. And I've seen a lot of work by artists, which is great, and a lot of artwork, which I don't think is very interesting by artists. And it's the same with curators. So I guess maybe that's a confusing way of putting it, but what I'm trying to say is whatever you would kind of call yourself or classify yourself professionally, I think actually what's interesting for me is like just what this practice is of what we're doing, trying to deal with artworks. And as I say, I think artists are dealing with artworks in one way and with one relationship, and curators have a necessarily different one, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I sort of wanted to ask you, you were saying at art school you were working with other artists. Do you find that that's helped you out in your career as a curator, working with other people? And do you still have contacts with anybody from art school in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, it totally helped me out. And it helped me out because it became about those conversations. And what I used to love doing being in art school was coming in every day and having a community of people around me who I could go and talk to and talk about their work. And actually what I found out in a very basic prosaic way, well, very quickly, was that I was much more interested in talking to my friends about their work than I was about being in the studio on my own, making my work in a way. But I think I didn't, at a certain moment, I didn't see that as problematic. I saw it as, okay, it's actually really useful to be interested in other people's work because the work requires that interest as well. And so that's what I mean. I sort of fell into curating just because it was just what I was doing anyway. But I definitely think that, you know, all of the early shows I did were with my friends. You know, the show I curated at S1 was with a bunch of people I was at art school with, and then a few people actually who were in the city at that time, who I'd come to know through being here and through those conversations. So they weren't all the same generation by any means, but yeah, and what I would always encourage anybody who's kind of interested in curating or curatorial practice is, you know, it starts with like looking and talking, looking at work and talking to artists. And I guess it's a truism again, but I always worry that, you know, I feel very uninformed about curatorial politics and who's moving where. And, you know, I'm always a little bit suspicious when curators are always talking about what other curators are doing rather than art and artworks. I think, you know, for me, that's always the heart of it.
Does anybody have any questions on the floor?
Can you start by saying a bit about how you chose the theme for Sheffield, which is about, it's again about atoms, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm aware that I haven't talked about Art Sheffield, but that's quite nice in a way, because you can all come on Saturday. And you'll see the show. But Art Sheffield develops a lot out of this show, but it's very different. I mean, really, really different in lots of ways. Even though some of the artists who are in this show, and even though some of the works, even that Paul St. Seymour work, is in Art Sheffield. But really, really briefly, I started with the city. And I started with a few different aspects of the city. Firstly, this incredibly personal thing, which I'm almost embarrassed to talk about because it feels so cliched in a way, but just this experience of coming back to a city that I hadn't been in for 16 years and that I'd studied in, and I had, you know, so many people I knew who were still here, and I'd had so much history invested here. And I think the city where you study as a student is a really kind of significant moment in your life. And I hadn't been back for 16 years. So when I came back on the first visit for Art Sheffield, there was already this very strong kind of personal response I had, where like this kind of fantasy of what Sheffield was, this memory of what it was, and this kind of imaginary of what it was, I was constantly projecting back out onto this place that I was physically in now, but it never quite matched. Like that place had gone, and that club wasn't there anymore, and that store wasn't there anymore, and that bar had changed. And so I was really interested in this idea of my fantasy of what Sheffield was being projected back onto something that was still kind of physically the same, but was so different. So that was one thing I was thinking about. The other thing was that I really wanted to start very much with the spaces of the city and to think about locating works in very specific spaces in a very specific way. So rather than find two or three big venues that we could get 14, 15, 20 artists in, with 7 in that one and 9 in that one, where, you know, that can work in a kind of festival context. But what normally happens then is the space is kind of necessarily neutralized at a certain point because it has to accommodate so many different positions and practices. And I thought, if we have one artist per space, like the spaces are really implicated, the relationship between the work, but also I really like this idea that the physical journey between each of the spaces, which is between each work essentially, is also implicated. So your experience of moving around the city becomes part of the experience of the work itself. So that was the other starting point. And then from there, I began to think about it being video and sound and moving image. And what was really important, or what I think where that came from, was this idea again of this projection. And I was thinking about how can I bring works in that inhabit these spaces, but inhabit them in a way where it's almost like this very transitional, like that somehow accepts or amplifies the idea of this being very temporary. This will be like this for 3 weeks and then it'll be gone. And so it's almost like, again, that idea of the dream of the space or the imaginary or the reverie. It's really interesting in that, the way that it kind of dreams itself. And then how communities, how actually cities, and really the reason Sheffield's changing so much all the time is because the people who carry all of these different ideas, all these very personal cities and ideas of what Sheffield in their heads are constantly changing and changing those spaces and projecting their desires back out onto the city. And that creates the city as much as the physical changes. So I was thinking about all of that before I even thought of an artist to show. And then I was thinking about Sheffield's kind of material histories and its culture, and so this idea of steel and the way that the city was formed at a certain point by its industry and by its relationship with the substance, with the physical, you know, like steel, it's like metal, it's kind of elemental reality. And that, in some of the ways that I was talking about that in there, I guess, and the kind of scale and the subatomic reality of things and how that shapes and forms things. It's social, cultural, musical histories around electronic music at various points through the 80s, the 90s when I was here, right up to now. And again, how those communities occupy and change and alter those spaces and then produce new imaginaries. So for some people, the idea of Sheffield is like the idea of Liverpool and the Beatles or something. You know, these things get kind of projected or imposed onto these places. And spaces, you know, like a post-industrial space that was a, I don't know, a cutlery master's workshop or, you know, that then becomes a place where a band practiced and now it's a nightclub and now it's a pop-up coffee place. You know, these things are constantly being produced through people's kind of desire and these different communities. So all of that I wanted to kind of reference. And in the end what happened was we had these new commissions, a lot of contemporary work which deals with that. But I also wanted it to start to bring in something around the economic realities of that as well. And certainly Hannah's work was super important in that. There's a really great film by Beatrice Gibson which starts to talk to some of these ideas as well, and some of the other artists. And what happened was, when I was thinking about video work, the 80s became really important in the kind of development of video. It was that movement away from some of the kind of Super 8, Super, you know, 16mm experimental film practices of the 70s. And suddenly what happened was VHS video and the editing equipment in the early 80s became really democratic. Sheffield Hallam University got a bunch of this stuff. It was one of the best art schools in the country. It had these editing suites. And this, what I then was looking at was this scratch video which developed around that time, which was very political. It was sampling TV news footage, popular culture, adverts, music, all of this stuff. Often it was shown in a club context. Often it was made as visuals for bands like Cabaret Voltaire or 23 Skidoo or even Human League. And there was an artist at Salt Lake called Nick Cope who was very involved in that and making a lot of this stuff for Cabaret Voltaire. What was interesting was that a lot of this stuff was, you know, it's constant images of Reagan and Thatcher bombing Libya, a kind of apocalyptic nuclear paranoia around the Cold War, what was happening with Russia, like a hugely exploding, disgusting kind of global capitalism, which we've seen become ever more pervasive, but loads of stuff around the kind of 1980s explosion of wealth and the yuppies and the bankers. And what you see looking at this stuff is not only that was a really important moment, I think, because it's set in motion a lot of things that we're dealing with now, and it shows you just how little anything has changed. It's like looking at the news now, looking at this stuff. But it's also, it totally preempts the visual languages that have become so present now through social media and the internet. And again, Hannah's work deals with some of this, the circulation of GIFs, the way people will make a little homemade movie on their phone and circulate that very quickly. Like this scratch video stuff was really like experimental for a moment, got very quickly adopted into the mainstream. And now with platforms like YouTube and the internet, you know, it's the language that everybody's using and speaking. And so it felt very interesting to reintroduce that and also think about what that meant for Sheffield at that time in the 80s.
Does anybody else have a question before we head over to Site Gallery?
You ever attempted to go back to being an artist, that is?
No. I don't think I was a very good artist. I mean, I talked about that work and I was embarrassed when I started talking about it, and then I sort of wished I hadn't. But I thought, it's the only time I'm ever going to be able to talk about it if I'm invited to talk here. But I'm not really tempted, because actually what I really enjoy about my work is I find that my practice is really creative, and it's really, I write a lot about work, and I'm lucky in that I've got the ability to work with artists I want to work with and to do projects like this, which is fantastic. But it's, making art's really, really difficult. It's really hard to make good art, and then it's really hard to keep going and keep making it, even at those moments that can last a long time sometimes when other people don't seem to be interested in it. So I think it's hard. I don't think I could do that.
We'll finish there then. Thank you for coming, everyone, and thank you, Martin.
Thank you so much.